إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam and in after Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the kitab itself and said ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a book, he said, the Quran is a book in which there is no doubt, and in it there is hidayat and guidance for the muttaqoon, for people who have taqwa. And then he described Jalla Jalaluhu the qualities of the people of taqwa. And the first quality that he said is Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. He said these are the people who have faith and who believe in Al-Ghaib. Now what is Al-Ghaib? Al-Ghaib is again one of those several or many words in the Quran which are wrongly translated into in English. You will see the translation of Al-Ghaib is unseen. Read any English translation, it's unseen. But Al-Ghaib is not unseen, because something may not be seen, but it is not ghaib. For example, you are not seeing the sound of my speech, but you won't say that sound is ghaib. You don't feel the breeze. I mean, you feel the breeze on your face when you go out. Are you feeling the breeze from this air conditioning unit? You are not seeing it. You won't say this is ghaib. It's not ghaib. How is it ghaib? We do not see electricity, we do not see radio waves, we do not see the most omnipresent thing in the world today, which is Wi-Fi, right? But none of this is in the ghaib. So, translating al-ghaib into unseen is a very highly inadequate and incorrect translation. My translation of al-ghaib is the unperceivable. I do not even say the unperceived, because what is unperceived today can become perceived tomorrow in some way or the other. Right? I mean, I don't see or hear Wi-Fi or feel Wi-Fi, but if I have a device which connects to Wi-Fi, then I know it is there. So it is perceivable. It's not perceived now, but the moment I turn my phone on, it is perceived. Right? So, but Al-Ghaib is not that. Al-Ghaib is something which is not even unperceived. It is unperceivable, meaning that not only can you not perceive it in any form, any of our senses, not only can we not perceive it using any of our senses or any of our devices that we have today, but also, we will never be able to perceive it with our senses, which of course might not change, but even with our devices, which can change infinitely. So, what is Al-Ghaib? Al-Ghaib is something that is not only unperceived today, but which will remain unperceived forever, whatever that forever means, till the final day, till the final moment of life on the face of this earth. Irrespective of what you invent, irrespective of how far science and technology goes and so on and so forth, Al-Ghaib is that which will not be perceivable either today or ever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to have faith in this, to have iman in this. This is the first sign of the muttaqun. The first sign. There is no sign before this sign. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Right? Now, if you take and understand this and say, if it is unperceivable, then how do I know it exists? That's a legitimate question. Okay, not perceivable. So, is it completely blind faith? Since it is unperceivable, and as I am saying that not only can't it be perceived now, it can never be perceived. Yet you are saying, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believe on the day of judgment. So, that's, is it blind faith? Well, I have to believe. I've got no proof, but I have to believe. Is that how it is? And my answer to that is that if I tell you I can't show you electricity, right? I can show you the transmission towers, I can show you the wires that are transmitting or allegedly transmitting electricity. But if you say, no, how do I know? I can't show it to you. I can't say, go touch it. If you touch it, you know what will happen, right? So, but how do I show? So, if I have to prove to you, what do? I show you the effect of electricity. I can't show you the current. But I can show you what the current does. So, we say, you look at this light. This is what electricity does. This illumination in the room is as a result of electricity. This air conditioning unit is working as a result of electricity. You turn the fan on, it's working as a result of electricity, and so on and so on. So, I can show you the effects of electricity. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Rabb who created everything. So, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes you and me, this is a proof of al-ghayb. What is the proof that Allah exists? We are proof. We are evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. This world is evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Whatever we can see is evidence of what we cannot see. And this is the proof of al-ghayb. Now, having said all of that, one can always take a spin of an argument and say, well, you know, yeah, I exist, but how do I know Allah made me and not somebody else? Well, who's that somebody else? You must tell me who's that somebody else. And why should I believe? Because Allah made you? Because Allah said so in the Quran. Now, the Quran itself is proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this kalam came from anyone who, including the greatest critics of the Quran, nobody says that this was, just people say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote it and, you know, he heard it from somebody else and so on. But there is no one who says, any serious scholar of the Quran, not necessarily Muslim, no one has ever said that this is actually true. These are all some false allegations that people make. But anyone who has said that, yes, this is a thing which really has no, the author is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may not believe in Allah, but they say, well, this is, well, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never wrote this thing. He could not have written it. Because not only is it a question of believing in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Quran has and contains many things in it which were not even in the body of knowledge for the time. So, not only does it contain things that people in Arabia did not know, this was not the knowledge of the human beings at the time. We know from history today what was the body of knowledge at the time, and there are many things in the Quran which were not part of the body of knowledge. So, there is no one who could have said that, you know, this is from the Greeks or from the Romans, or it is from people, earlier people, or from the Jewish people, from their books. It cannot be, because there are completely inexplicable things in the Quran which are not part of that body of knowledge. Some of them have become part of our today's body of knowledge. So, that is, for anyone who needs evidence, well, there is some evidence in this to say that those days it was ghaib, today it is not ghaib anymore, because we, for example, all the ayats of embryology and so on and so forth, isostasia mountains and whatnot. So, all of this stuff, today we know this. But when the ayat were revealed, the sahaba did not know this. Wal jibal awtad, the sahaba didn't know. What is the meaning of jibal awtad? The mountain is a peg means what? I mean, they didn't go into the earth to see that it is a peg. They didn't have an understanding of tectonic plates. Today we do. Right, so we say, alright, well, here is an ayat which could not possibly have been taken from anywhere else, because there is, before this ayat came, this concept of tectonic plates and pegs and so on did not exist on the face of the planet. Whatever we know, the Greek, say for example, Greek philosophy is a different matter, we are not talking about, but we are saying whatever knowledge was there did not mention any of this. So, it could not have been taken from elsewhere. So, where did it come from? Obviously, it came from somebody who knew, who is the creator of the universe. So, the issue of, therefore, final long and short of this is that this whole issue of ghaib is, how do we believe this? Now, we believe this from the Quran because for the same reason, which is, and what is the alternative to this? The alternative to this is that there is no such thing, right? All the arguments of the atheists and so on and so forth. So there is no God, there is no this, there is no akhirah, there is nothing. Now, to give you another example to illustrate. For example, if you ask me, what are the, say I'm applying for, a US visa, what do I need to have? Right? Is it necessary for me to have a detailed record of my travel for the last 10 years or the last 5 years, wherever I went? Is it necessary for me to present that document with dates and so on? So, if I tell you, no, not necessary, forget it. Right? But somebody else comes and says, Bobby comes and says, no, but on the website of US immigration, right, under visa formalities, it is clearly stated that you need this 5 years travel record. So I say, nah, forget that, doesn't matter. You don't need it. Now, who do you want to believe? Do you want to believe what the US government says about its own immigration procedure? Or do you want to believe somebody who gives you some opinion? This is not required. You know, it's a very, anyone who believes the other guy, well, you know, go find out for yourself. What else can you say? You go there, your application will get rejected, you will have to go back, get all your stuff. Exactly the same thing, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exist, but that one day we have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Iman bil ghaib consists of two parts. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and the second one is the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first of that promise is the meeting with him jalla jalaluhu. So who do you want to believe? Do you want to believe the one who said that I exist and you are going to meet me? Or do you want to believe somebody who says all of this is not there? Yeah. Now the reason I am saying this is, obviously we are all Muslims, we are sitting in a masjid. So our default setting is, yes, we believe this. But the question to ask is, if we believe it, if you believe that a 5 year travel record is required for a US visa, next question is, where is that record? Are you compiling it? Are you looking up your old passports? Where did you travel? All the dates have to match, obviously. Are you doing that? Because if you are not doing that, then the obvious question is, do you really believe this or not? Because if you really believe it, then how come you are not? So either one of two things. Either you really don't even want to go to the US. You just asked a question, maybe. But here it's a question of not wanting to go or not. It is, you have to go. This one is not, choice is not left to us. Do you want to come? No, you have to come. There is no choice in this. And what do you need for that? Iman wal amalu salih. You need belief and you need the amal to support that belief. I say la ilaha illallah, which is the amal which supports la ilaha illallah? Salah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, the amal which supports that is salah. And so also other things. Right? You've got salat, you've got zakat, you've got fasting and so on. So where are the amal? If I believe I need the travel record, where is the travel record? This is the meaning of Iman bil Ghaib, which is the first condition of being a muttaqi. And if you are a muttaqi, then what is the benefit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. If you are a muttaqi, the benefit is you get hidayat. And if you get hidayat, you get jannah. Very simple understanding of this. Very simple. But at the end of that, the action must support that understanding. Then inshallah we get the benefit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to open our eyes to this and to give us this. Sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.